Good morning and welcome to our second Sunday in August. Second Sunday is where we expect the Lord to work, continue to bring miracles, healing to our hearts, to our lives, as we walk with Him through these very challenging times and days. I'd like to read to you for this morning to welcome you to our service at Lancaster Baptist Church and also to all our churches at SRBC and also to Caton Baptist. Wherever you are and wherever you are watching this service, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And so let me start this morning by reading a few words from Psalm 103, who very much brings healing and is an oasis of incredible, like an incredible balm to our souls, to our lives, as we continue into this lockdown time, into these challenging times ahead. Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Oh, how much we need healing in our life just now. Who redeems you from your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What a wonderful promise, what a wonderful framework for our worship this morning, to come before Him knowing full well that He gives us this incredible benefits, and we are here to worship Him because He's given us forgiveness. He brought that through the cross of Jesus Christ. He brought healing daily, and He does so daily through the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. He redeems us from the pit through the redeeming blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. And He crowns us with love and compassion, forever saved, ever in His presence with grace and mercy, who satisfies your desire with good things. Even here today on earth, God's plan for us is that we may live an abundant life of joy, of blessing, of happiness in Him and through Him. This is God's wonderful blessings that He bestows on us. May the Lord be with you as you listen, as you worship this morning, as you come into His presence. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this wonderful benefits that you've given us through your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son. We are healed, we are restored, we are forgiven. We find satisfaction into our lives, and we are crowned with incredible love and compassion that flows through the cross. Lord, may we know and experience that as we worship you today, this morning. Throughout our lives, may we know your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
In the 16th verse of chapter 3 in the book of John. I'll just sing this on my own. Please sing along with me at home.
In the 16th verse of chapter 3 in the book of John, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever lives in him shall never, never die. That whoever believes in him shall live, forever forevermore. In 16th verse of chapter 3, in the book of John, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never, never die. That whoever believes in him shall live, forever live, forevermore.
We say a prayer to finish. Thank you, Father God, for Easter. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for the stone that rolled away to show that you are alive forevermore. We don't need to fear death. And we do have hope. And Lord, we pray for all those around us who are full of fear and hopelessness. Lord, we pray that you will remind them that you died for them, that you love them, and that you give them hope beyond death. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten men, nailed to a cross and
Thank you, Father, we can come to you today and praise you, Almighty God, and thank you so much for all that you've done for us, God. We know the times are troubling, God, but we know that you are the Father who will guide us through, like a shepherd guides his sheep through the pastures to still waters. Father, I pray for anybody who feels down and lonely today, God, that you will strengthen them and encourage them, Father, and fill their life with your love, God. We thank you, Father, that you have treated us kindly, God. You provided for all of our needs, Lord. And Father, we pray that we can be great examples to the world of joy in this time, Father, of faith and hope, of love, God. We pray that, Father, we will take the attention off ourselves, God, and focus on others, how we can help them with a kind word, God, or a simple deed. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our church, God, that you will bless them and encourage them, help them with the preparations that they must make to keep us safe at this time, Father. And we pray, Father, that soon we will all be together, worshipping your name, Father, and lifting your name high in the world, Lord God Almighty. Father, we love you and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning and welcome to the second of our joint Baptist services. I'm not quite sure what we're calling them, the series for the summer. My name is Alan Wadsworth. I am minister at Caton Baptist Church here. And it's my privilege to share with you this morning, in typical Baptist fashion, we are going to be looking at discipleship. And I have got points all beginning with the same letter. I know how we like that. So, discipleship. Have you ever decided to do something and then regretted it? I don't know if you've ever been asked the question. What are you doing tomorrow? Or have you got anything on next week? Usually people ask you those questions. The appropriate answer should be, why? What do you want me to do? Maybe you've agreed or to do something that you didn't really want to do, or committed to doing something that you've decided that actually you didn't really want to do, but you knew that you should do. Discipleship's one of those things, isn't it? What are we doing to make disciples? How would you define discipleship? It's one of those terms that encompasses all sorts of things, doesn't it? What does it mean for us to be disciples? What does discipleship look like? What does it look like for other people? Is it a program? Is it just expanding knowledge? How do we define it? So, the first question this morning is, what is discipleship? How would you define it? So, what I want you to do is I want you to pause just now and turn to the person next to you, if there's somebody there, and ask them, how do you define discipleship? So go ahead and do that now. Okay. If I was to ask you one verse that talks about discipleship, I wonder what verse you would come up with. I'm sure many of us would turn to Matthew chapter 29, chapter 28, sorry, verses 18 to 20. The Great Commission. Jesus said just before he was taken back up to heaven and said to the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. First off, before we dive into this, we need to say God doesn't ask us to seek converts. He doesn't tell us to go and convert people. He simply asks us to do discipleship. What is discipleship? Well, my definition is this. Discipleship is modelling and teaching Christians what the Bible says and how we are to live. Things like prayer, doctrine, which is a fancy word for knowing about God, Christian living, worship. We are called to evangelise. We're called as Christians to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. But that's what we're to do. We're to tell people about it. That's not our main mission. Our main mission is called to make disciples. We're to tell people about the gospel. And when they come to understand it for themselves, we're to help them to grow as Christians. It's the role of the Holy Spirit to bring people into relationship with God. God's call for us, above all else as Christians, is to love him and to worship him. Nothing else, in my humble opinion, is more important than discipleship. To be growing in our understanding of God as we mature and walk alongside with him. Another verse on discipleship, and this is what we're going to be looking at really this morning. Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus again says to his followers, he said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's the definition of discipleship that we're going to go through this morning. So first of all, there are five things mentioned in this verse. And a commitment to discipleship involves each of these things. So first of all, they'll begin with the same letter, the letter D. Desire. He says there right to everyone, if anyone. The first thing we need when we want to be a disciple is the desire to do it. What if that desire is missing? And you are definitely a Christian. Well, there are reasons for that. Is it maybe an immature faith? or not really truly understanding and making a true response to the gospel. Maybe it's not truly understanding what God has done on the cross. Or perhaps sometimes we have a sense of entitlement, like God is lucky to have me as part of his family. So I don't need to do anything because God should just be lucky to have me with him. First of all, we have to want to be a disciple. There has to be that desire. Nobody can force us. We don't make people obey what the Bible says. It's between them and God, and we model it as Christians, and we tell others about it. Sometimes, even if our desire is weak, the best thing we can do is start out. Just take those first steps. And that gives us more of a desire to understand and to learn more and more. And if we don't have the desire, maybe we should try and work out why. Pray and ask God to come and fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you would have that desire. Second D is decision. It says there, if anyone would come after me, we have to make a decision that we are going to follow Christ, that we're going to walk alongside him. We have to make a decision about what sort of Christian we're going to be. Are we going to be the sort of person who just follows along as it's easy when life is going well, as long as God doesn't ask too much of me, as long as God doesn't interfere in my life too much, if God doesn't ask me to do anything that I don't want to do? If we truly want to follow God and be a disciple, it's a decision we have to make to give everything we've got, to commit to following Christ no matter what the cost. Have you made a decision to follow, to be a disciple? For some it flows from their love for God. Sometimes we just need to admit it's time to stop playing about with God. Sometimes it's immaturity and we just need to get on with it. I don't know about you, I often suffer from procrastination. We think, well, one day I'll follow God. One day I will do all these things that I'm supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be obedient children as part of God's family. We're supposed to be those who do what we say, doers of the word. And obedience is that simple and supreme test of where our heart truly lies. Jesus is, again, is the perfect point, perfect example of obedience. He lived a life on earth in complete obedience to the Father, even to the point of death. Philippians. So, we have our first D, which was desire. Our second D, decision. Our third D is denial. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. You see, being a disciple always involves denial. Because that's the very nature of it, isn't it? A disciple is a person who follows somebody else. You do what they want to do in a way they want it to be done. At some point, it comes down to who are we going to follow or obey. We have to deny ourselves. We are disciples. We say to God, God, you have everything of me. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to be obedient to your will. Often that means denying what we want to put God first. The things we naturally want to do. How we react to people who hurt us. How we spend our money. How we spend our time. Our focus is shifted towards God and others rather than ourselves first. All of these things often mean that we have to deny what we want, to give it up to God, to say, God, I want to do what you want me to do rather than what I think I should do. Sometimes it might feel that we are missing out on the fun that everybody else is having because it's not easy to deny ourselves. I don't know if you've ever been on a diet or, as some call, a healthy eating plan and tried not to eat cake and chocolate. It's not easy, is it, to deny ourselves when all of us, all our nature is screaming out, just eat it. But we know we shouldn't. To deny ourselves means to put Jesus first in all things. As a disciple of Christ, we need to be set apart from the world. Our focus in everything should be pleasing God in every area of our lives. We must put off self-centeredness and put on Christ-centeredness. So we have desire, decision, denial, and dedication is the next one. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Discipleship is something we have to dedicate our whole lives to. It's not something you just make a decision about once and that's it. I'm going to be a disciple And that's all there is to it. It is something we have to dedicate our whole lives to. We don't just wake up one morning and think, that's it, I've made it. It's a daily commitment to walking with Christ in the ups and downs of life, when we feel like it and when we don't, when we feel like we're great Christians and when we feel like absolute failures. Daily, as that verse says, they let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. All of that takes dedication. We are to give over everything for the sake of Christ. Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus said to his disciples, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." That's a tough ask, isn't it? To give up everything to follow Christ. To give up everything we lay claim to. Again, when he spoke to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, when he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered, "You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not testify falsely, do not cheat, honour your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I have obeyed all these commandments since I was a child." Jesus looked at him and said, "You lack only one thing. Go and sell all you have and give your money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went sadly away because he had many possessions. Mark 10. Everything we are, everything we have, needs to belong to Christ. And that takes dedication. Dedication. Jesus was not implying that we have to sell everything we have. He didn't say that Christians cannot be rich and well off. But he asked this man to sell what was most important to him. The possessions that he had were the God of this man's life. If something else had been on the throne, then Jesus would have asked him for that. Finally, we have determination. Determination. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It takes determination to see it through. Stickability. To follow Christ through thick and thin. It's based on real relationships and trust. Knowing that when things get tough, our faith is based on facts. And that we can know and have experienced God at work in us and through us. So there we have 5 D's of discipleship. Desire, decision, denial, dedication, and determination. We might say, what's the point in this following God? What's the point in doing all these things that we can follow Christ? What are the fruits in our lives that we can see and be encouraged by? Well, firstly, it's fruitfulness. You will see the God at work in our lives. John 15. Our job isn't to produce the fruit. Our job is to stay rooted, abiding in Christ. The Holy Spirit working through us produces the fruit. And the fruit is result of our obedience. As we become more obedient to God and learn to walk in his ways, our lives will change. The biggest change often immediately is in our lives and the way things we do, the way we act. And after that, it's in our hearts, isn't it? The overflow of our love for God is the way we live our lives. And it shows the change that's happened in our hearts. The change as disciples is done from the inside out through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we do just by saying, well, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to be better. It's a result of a change in our heart. So fruitfulness, we will be fruitful people with the fruit of God at work in us and evident to all. Gentleness, peacefulness, self-control, all those things we see listed in the fruits of the Spirit. A second result is this: love for others, for other disciples and for a lost world. We're told that the love of other believers is evidence of our being part of God's family. 1 John chapter 3. Love is an important factor of our discipleship. Love isn't just an emotion, the way we feel. It's an action towards others. We have to do something and be involved in the process. We're told in Philippians to think more highly of others than of ourselves and to look out for other people first. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. What should we do in life? Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who gave himself up and made himself nothing being obedient to death on a cross. That's what our attitude should be. And that's a key sign of a true disciple. And those verses we just read, the results of discipleship, evangelism, telling other people about Jesus, from Matthew chapter 28. We're to share our faith, to tell those who do not know Jesus about how amazing it is to know him. The reality of forgiveness, the reality of eternal life. The wonderful change that Jesus Christ has made in our hearts. No matter what our maturity level, no matter how long you've been a Christian or I've been a Christian, we have something to offer. Too often we believe the lies that we hear from others or from Satan, that we don't know enough or haven't been a Christian long enough to make a difference. Some of the most enthusiastic Christians I've ever met are those who've only just discovered for themselves the awesome love of God. They might not know a lot of Bible verses, they might not know the Romans Road or other accepted ways of saying things, but all they do know is that they are loved and accepted and forgiven by God. But what is the cost of this discipleship? We've hinted at some of them. Because the cost is dear. The cost is expensive. Firstly, we must pay the price for the sins that we cherish. Those little things that we do, perhaps that nobody else knows about. The little things, the ways that we are, we just sometimes put down to, well, that's just who I am. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, we need to give those over to God. We cannot cling to those little things and say, well, it's just a one little sin. We give them over to God and say, I'm done with that. I want to be as far away from sinfulness as possible. Sometimes we pay the price of this world's fellowship because we should be different. We should be sticking out and showing ourselves as different. We shouldn't allow the attitudes of the world to colour our thinking and the way we live. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mould. And it does try to squeeze us into its mould. As a disciple, we sometimes have to pay the price of this world's friendship. We might be laughed at for our convictions, mocked for our beliefs, and for trying to live in a way that the Bible teaches. Finally, we must pay the price for the plans I have for my life. We all have ideas of what we want to do, where we want to go, and who we want to be. There's nothing wrong with those, but we must be willing to give them up if asked to do so by God. I often used to be a bit wary of saying to God, you know, I'd do anything you ask of me, I'll go anywhere you want me to, for fear that he would make me do the thing that I hated the most. But God has got plans for us to prosper us, plans to give us hope and a future, a perfect plan for my life and for yours in following him. So those are the costs, but the benefits are amazing. What are the things we gain in place of the things that we give up for him? Well, the disciple is the one to whom God reveals more of himself. As we read his word, as we live out his life, the disciple is the one who lives the Christian life in all its fullness, receiving all that God has for them. To the disciple, each day is a fresh opportunity to walk with God. And to the disciple, life has definite purpose and direction. It is that is described in John 10, life abundant, life to the full. It costs to follow Christ. It costs to be a disciple. But it costs more not to. If you as a Christian are settling for anything less than discipleship, then you are missing out on all that God has to offer you. Billy Graham said this: salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. Are we willing to give everything that we are to follow Christ, our Lord and Saviour? We trust you are doing well. Let us pray as we finish this part of our service today. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be your disciples, that we can follow you in our lives. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be faithful. Help us to see each day as an adventure in discipleship with you. We pray for each other. We pray for our churches that you would bless this time, that it would be a time where people turn to you. Lord, enrich our lives. Enrich our walk with you. May we be more faithful to you. May we be a better example of what it means to be your disciples as we seek to live out that day by day in the world around us. We pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord,
And so it was lovely to hear God's word this morning again and rejoicing into his blessing, knowing that we are healed, forgiven, restored, crowned with compassion and love, and our lives are satisfied. And let me finish with a blessing, with an affirmation of God's promise, of his promise to us all. You are all sons of God and daughters of the living Christ, through faith in his Son Jesus Christ. For all of you who are baptizing to Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You belong to Christ. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And since you are a son and a daughter, God made you also an heir with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning's service. Thank you for your love and grace into our lives. May we continue to represent you as heirs, as sons and daughters of the living Christ. May in everything we do or say, bless your name, the name that is above all other names, the names of Jesus. Amen.
My one deep. my